The question for this morning on Good Friday, the day we celebrate, right, the death of Christ, or reflect on the death of Christ. We were talking this morning in the office, right? We don't mourn the death of Christ because we have on this side of the cross, Easter Sunday, we know the resurrection has happened. So we are able to see the good in the cross. But if we try to put ourselves in the time frame of the scriptures, then Good Friday was not actually a good day. It was a terrible day for all those who followed Christ, for all those who thought Jesus was the Messiah, for whatever reason, of whatever sort. It was a terrible day. And the question they might have been asking themselves is, well, why does he have to die? We know that Jesus in the Gospels told them at least three times, right, recorded in the Gospels, hey, I'm going to have to go away, I'm going to have to die, and I'll rise again, and I'll come back for you. But he made it very explicit to the disciples, I'm going to have to die. Why? Why does Jesus have to die? And I want to answer. There's books, there's volumes, there's histories about why Jesus had to die, and I can't cover that all this morning. But I want to give you from the text that we read just a few minutes ago. I want to give you four things that you might be able to take away with you today and reflect upon as we think about Christ's death. The first is that he died for our spiritual pain. The great lie of Western culture is that there is no spiritual. And the devil is so delighted that a segment of our world is so content to think themselves independent, self-governing, free from any sort of outside force. But surely the weight of things unknown, like space, things unsolved, like disease or hunger, or things blessedly infuriating, like love. Surely these things should stop our culture in their thinking tracks and wrestle that there might be something bigger than themselves. Something or someone that the longing that everyone has deep inside is able to satisfy. That longing will not be satisfied with knowledge or earthly relationship or accomplishment or by substituting anything earthly for that deep spiritual longing, that pain. Because that longing and pain, in fact, ultimately is the absence of God. The absence of a relationship with their Creator. And it's summed up in the first line of our passage, which is also one of the last lines of Jesus' earthly life. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. To be forsaken. This is what Jesus experienced. On the deepest spiritual plane, right? To be abandoned, to be renounced, to give up upon, to forsake. This is the pain that much of our world feels. They are alone. Even in the best relationships, time reveals the insufficiency of them. In the worst of circumstances, forsakenness is actively abusive instead of passively absent. But the worst part of forsakenness is the eternal part. The part that lasts forever. To be forever forsaken. And Jesus experienced. Jesus knew what David prophesied. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, in all the mystery that can be found in God the Father forsaking God the Son, the greatest might be that God the Son took our sin to the judgment seat of the Father. This is real love. That while we were yet sinners, while you were yet a sinner, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. And that meant for Jesus being forsaken by the Father. It's Good Friday because you don't have to be forsaken. It is true, for clarity, to be with the whole context of the Scriptures. It's true that on the last day, on the judgment day, Christ will judge, Christ will forsake, he will renounce those who do not trust in his saving grace brought through his death and resurrection. That's true. But the part of the good in Friday is that we're not there yet. It's not judgment day, it's Good Friday. And today is a day where his mercy is revealed in his invitation to receive Christ's forgiveness of sins and the assurance of his presence so that we are not alone or forsaken. And this is the end of our spiritual pain. We no longer live in fear of it. Secondly, Christ died for our physical pain. Now, I'm in the middle. I'm not yet at the age where organ transplants or joint replacements are expected. Not there yet. Neither am I keeping up with the younger men in my community who run like gazelles. I feel age. And for Americans, for our culture, this is the fight. As we are using aspirin and surgery to stay out of physical pain while my body decays. That's not the persecuted's problem. That wasn't the problem of our brothers and sisters in Egypt on Palm Sunday. It's not the problem of our brothers and sisters in China who sit in jail on Good Friday. Or for the enslaved that are around the world in different parts. They are in physical pain for what they believe. So too, Jesus was broken and killed for who he was and professed unashamedly. Listen again to verses 14 through 18 about Jesus' physical pain. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Jesus became like us and died physically, not only to show us the compassion and love he has for us, not only to show us the terrible end rooted in love, he died to show us a foreshadow of the terrible eternal death we would suffer without him. Now, death is not the end of the story. Good Friday doesn't finish it off. The resurrection, we already know, comes in 3 days. But if we can just stay in the moment of Good Friday for a moment, if you and I can just stand at the foot of the cross next to Jesus' pierced feet, if we can look at him and watch him heave his body on the cross up and down, trying to catch his breath out of the most brutal beating, we can understand. If we can just stay there, and if you and I can just stare long enough, then you and I will want more for our body than this world can provide. We won't suffer like Jesus suffers. But Jesus promises more for us physically for all eternity than any other promise that anybody can make. But Jesus died so that we might have even more. He died for our spiritual pain. He died for our physical pain. Jesus also died for our emotional pain. Now, emotional pain has all sorts of causes, some self-inflicted, some other inflicted. But what seems to be the constant about emotional pain is a shame and an embarrassment, whether public or private. And Christ knew this in droves. Again, follow along as I read verses 6 through 8 and see the emotional pain of Christ on the cross today. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their head. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him. For he delights in him. Fleming Rutledge, in his book, The Crucifixion, The Death of Jesus Christ, writes this about the shame of the cross. Crucifixion was supposed to be seen by as many people as possible. Debasement resulting from public agony was a chief feature of the method, along with the prolonging of the agony. It was a form of advertisement or a public announcement. This person is the scum of the earth, not fit to live, more like an insect than a human being. The crucified wretch was pinned up like a specimen. Crosses were not placed out in the open for convenience or sanitation, but for maximum public exposure. Jesus on the cross knows the worst of emotional pain. And the cross tells us today that Jesus took all of our pain on the cross. I'm not diminishing what you have gone through or what you are going through or what you will be going through. All I'm saying to you this morning, that the cross says to us, is that Jesus knows. Jesus intimately, deeply knows what that emotional pain is, and he died for it. And the good news about Good Friday is that that cross says that our emotional pain will come to an end. Jesus' death sealed the wages of sin, and with that includes any sort of emotional pain. And the fellowship of that suffering we have in Christ today gives hope not only for the ever after, but hope that we might put to death any circumstance that we would give control over us. No one's authority over your emotions is greater than Christ's authority over your emotions. Christ who gave you the emotions is the same Christ who rules over all emotions, even yours today. Christ died for our spiritual pain. Christ died for our physical pain. Christ died for our emotional pain. And Christ died so that the coming generation, not yet born, would not dwell in pain. Certainly, Jesus died for those who were present on that day. In fact, the scriptures describing Jesus' death, the things that Jesus said during that, help us to understand that he was dying for those that were there. Just follow along in your mind and your heart this morning. It says when Jesus, so at one point when Jesus saw the women weeping after him, he said, "Do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and your children." He's thinking about those who are watching, others. When the soldiers drove nails through his hands and his feet to affix them to the rough wooden cross, he prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Jesus is worried about the soldiers who were crucifying him. To the thief on the cross, he said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is dying on that day for that man so he might have salvation. He even was concerned about his mother, making sure she was taken care of, saying to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then to John, "Here is your mother." He died for those standing right there. But he also died for you today. That's what verses 29 through 31 tell us. It says, "All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. But before him they shall all bow, all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall preserve him, and it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn." To a people yet unborn. Just to put the math together, when Jesus died on the cross, you weren't yet born. David prophesies about you that Jesus would die so that you could be told that you don't have to live in pain for eternity, that Jesus' pain takes your pain. It's right there. Praise God for Good Friday. James Montgomery Boyce preached, "What was finished was the atonement by which the righteous demands of God for sin's punishment had been fully satisfied, and the righteousness of God was now able to be freely offered to all who would believe on Jesus Christ." So as you go throughout your day today, don't rush through it. Don't just try and get to Easter as fast as you can. The Lord has given you every minute of today to reflect on this Good Friday, to be reminded whatever pain you have has been died for, has been experienced and died for in the context of Jesus' life and Jesus' death. And he invites you to the foot of the cross so that you can take your pain and lay it at the Jesus' feet and say, "This, you have borne this burden for me." And all the, because the worst pain we can have, right, is the sin that would overwhelm us, and we can lay that sin at Jesus Christ's feet. And he dies for it. And he will rise again. But today, just today, remember that Jesus died for all of that.